grab a seat to the bar and join us for another episode of McAnally's Pubcast, a podcast exploring the fun and fantastical mind of Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files series. Hosts Tansen, Jess, and Maggie bring you another round of literary analysis on this immense, immersive, and colorful environment inhabited by Harry Dresden, the world's only licensed private investigator and professional wizard. Join an active and engaged community of new and diehard dedicated fans focused on the fabulous themes, theories, characters, context, lore, and more. This is McAnally's Dresden Files Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk. Welcome to the McAnally's Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. This is episode 17.11, Sisters of Mercy, where we are covering the novel Proven Guilty. My name is Tansen, and I'm joined by Maggie.
Hello, hello.
And Jess.
186 days.
Chapter 15. Harry fends off Lashiel in the shower, and then preps to head to the hospital.
That was some fending he did. Lashiel, you put him in the hospital, damn girl.
That's funny. So we get a little bit of a time check. Harry rouses at 7 and takes a hop in a very cold shower. Well, at least it's briefly cold until Lashiel whips up some hot water for him.
Ah, Lashiel. What would he do without you?
Freeze.
Go to heaven.
Oh, yeah.
Touché.
And the immediacy, you know, Harry just prefers the hot water. Mm-hmm. I'll worry about
I'll
heaven
deal
later.
Deal with that later, yeah. Heaven, I can talk my way in.
Heaven can wait.
That's a tomorrow problem.
That's right. That's a future Harry issue. But yes, I love his Mickey Mouse alarm clock. I think this is a recall to it. I don't think this is the first time it's been mentioned. It pops up once or twice and that. But yeah, we haven't seen it for a while. I think since like book one or something like that, I think he used it. So it's good to know the Mickey Mouse alarm clock is still going.
Yep.
Has some longevity, that one.
Nothing will kill the mouse.
Right. And it's buzzing stubbornly, so it's not like the wind-up, like Mickey Mouse arm hands. Or is it just kind of like a buzzing bell alarm? Like, can you have a digital Mickey Mouse alarm that just doesn't seem as... It's got to be the wind-up, right? Or maybe an electric.
I sort of just assumed it was one of those ones with the bells on top.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Which, analog. Because that would make sense. Because a digital one really wouldn't probably last that terribly long for him.
That's true. I was thinking...
Maybe it's just such simple mechanics.
I was going to say maybe if it's like his childhood Mickey Mouse alarm clock, it might just be simple enough. I mean, like, again, his car does still run most days. But yeah, no.
Do you remember those ones? Because they had... Cause it was
yeah,
his,
yeah, yeah.
His,
that's
his,
what I mean.
Arms.
It was his hands, yeah. Right? And his big glove hands were the pointers, right? And his arms would... Which is what I imagine. It's just when it says... It's kind of, I think, maybe just like your refrigerator versus icebox thing. It's just when he says buzzed. So I'm like, is it like the clanging alarm bells?
I'm
or is it more of like
just...
a buzz kind of, but...
So Lash gives Harry a little bit of a reprimand to block the pain technique. Block...
If you used the technique I taught you last October, you wouldn't feel all these bumps and bruises from your stupid little whiplash car crash, dude.
Not so altruistic, though, because apparently it's because she feels his pain and she's like, fuck this shit.
Seriously, be careful what you wish for.
You know
dude.
How you filter everything through you. But yeah, but okay, I'm sorry. I get, right, go to hell, demon, fallen angel. Harry, you just keep selling and selling and selling the shit out of this, though. You get unlimited hot water and a fucking neck massage in your shower. Where do I sign up? Don't even have to have somebody there. He's just automatically can feel somebody working out all the knots and kinks. And I mean, okay, the rest of us, sure, I can use hot water. But again, on demand, unlimited. Who cares if it runs cold? You're still going to feel it piping hot. Yeah, I'm still waiting for the bad, Harry. I'm still waiting for the corruption to kick in here because, you know.
That was a couple books ago.
She gives him all kinds of, right, like, I'll just teach you how to ignore your pain and not feel it.
What's,
I'll teach you how
can
to.
Can you just say her full name, please?
Lashiel.
There's more to it.
The Temptress?
Yeah, there we go. Temptress.
Yeah, I know. But that's what I'm saying. He's just, right? Like, she's pulling him in good here. I was like, again, no bad sides yet.
All right. And he does conveniently tell her to, you know, hands off and stop, but doesn't say anything about the water.
I noticed, my lord. That you didn't. Shut up. Shut up.
Little chinks in that wall.
I wonder, though, really, what's the benefit? Like, would you actually come out with tenderized muscles, or does it just feel like it?
Right, because he's blue later.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I feel like there's no actual long-term effects. It's just, like, the kick-ass problem where you feel great, but you're actually dying because you are walking around in a body that feels fantastic, but that is not actually healing at all, but
true,
it feels healed, so you just...
But you feel healed. So, Jessica, take the last couple weeks.
Listen, I get it. Mind over matter is a huge part of it, but if you don't know you have an infection and you drop dead...
Right.
This is my farewell tour right now. Have fun recording this without me. You better cry every week.
But yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, again, that's the part we're ignoring for now. Like, yeah, you're right. Is he actually... But it's just in the moment just still to get that relief.
But she also has to inhabit the body, so she's not going to let him...
Well, that's
himself.
True. If she's, yeah, if he's actually, like, on the cusp of dying, she's probably going to give him a heads up.
Okay, that's enough.
But, yes. Yeah, that does raise an interesting point that way. So Harry, obviously, as he states at the start of this chapter, is very used to the cold showers because this has been a problem for the last 20-some years or whatever, right? 20-ish. So they're either colder. So his body is probably somewhat more accustomed, right? Same thing, you know, Jamaican bobsled team. We find it cold here. They found it, like, unlivable here, right?
Our nerve endings have buried themselves thoroughly deep in the epidermis. We can't feel a thing anymore.
Exactly.
I wish.
So it would make you, so again, so Harry could probably sustain that prolonged cold shower, but right, like, so like one of us that are used to a warm, you know what I mean? I'm like, honestly, would we send ourselves into hypothermia taking the same length of shower that, like, has Harry just built up his tolerance, you know, over years and years and years of cold showers? I kind of wonder if it's the same, you know what I mean? Because, yeah.
I don't know. I know a lot of people, especially here, we have people that are so proud of the fact that they can wear shorts 364 days a year. They're like, there's usually only like one day a year that I really put on pants.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And I hear it all the time.
Yeah.
But I still feel like there's just certain things you cannot build up an immunity against. And fucking cold shower would suck every fucking goddamn morning, no matter what, until the end of time.
Well, he
if that's your only option, that's your only option. Like, for, I even say about my jobs. At the jobs where I have coworkers, there are jobs I don't like doing. At the jobs where I don't have coworkers, I don't have that feeling because I'm the only person there to do the job. So I just have to do everything on the list. Whereas at jobs that have coworkers, I'm like, here's actually three things I never want to fucking do. Here you go. You go do them.
Right.
If you have only cold showers as your option every morning and you have to shower, yeah, okay, fine. This is our life. But yeah, I'd probably be like, I should move somewhere where there's a hot springs. I should.
Hey, Harry, have you looked up Banff recently?
Yeah.
So one of the things that Lashiel does mention before she is told to sod off is that she does confirm that the events were that of a spiritual predator.
Huh. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, I don't know if anyone, and I have to go through and sort of compare it to some of the other books where she's in it, but I noticed that Lashiel rarely uses contractions when she speaks.
Mm-hmm.
It's that old timey talk.
Yeah, I think it's that again, that differentiating.
Like, makes me think of Data from
Star Trek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he can't use them. He cannot use them.
He can't. Data can't.
But I think maybe it's used just, like, and she does use them just very, very, very rarely.
Yeah.
Mostly when she's making fun of Harry.
But I think it's much like with the fairies and stuff like that. They can put in the time and effort and update themselves to, you know, fit in and be. But that's just, again, like, same thing when Harry's talking to the fairies. You hear him be a whole lot of, I can't talk as to you right now. I cast thee out, you know, instead of just being like, so
I kind of think it's like Butcher putting like some, it makes her seem a little less human.
Yeah.
Just a subtle way.
Just makes that tiny bit of separation. This is a 2,000-year-old, right? This is the best up-to-date speech she's got from when she, right? Changes slow.
That
same thing, right?
Just a highbrow talking as well. I'm talking down to you right now.
That's you. Well, in every generation, right? We made fun of our parents' slang and them not getting ours, and my kids make fun of me for not knowing the current slang and use it, right? So it's the same thing, right? Change is slow and you're using this. So, I mean, here she's, like, so up-to-date.
Talk about your mother-daughter fighting Bonnie to Lash. I get it, Mom. OMG. Just Google it.
Yeah, right?
That really ate. What? What did it eat?
Yeah.
You ate who?
What? What
are you? Oh, my God. Skibbity Mom.
Oh, God. I hear River using that one.
skibbity toilet.
I hate you. I used it at work, actually, on, like, the 24-year-olds, and they were so mad at me. Like, you shut the fuck up right now. And I was like, oh, no, slay.
Not 4 years, right?
I applaud you.
I do like how Harry and her have this, like, camaraderie moment of her basically threatening to kill him, though, and they're both just totally chill about it. She's, like, not fully threatening him, and he's not fully taking it as a threat. However, I read it fully as a threat. I was like, all right, back off, cool down.
Well, again, right, it's that symbiotic relationship. So they're both, like, Wanu, but again, it's like, well, you'll kill, like, right? She can't actually kill Harry because she kills herself and is left in a cement circle until someone can find her eventually. You know?
Okay, but lived until you've died.
What, you're a mortality bigot now? Now and always. I mean, no insult by it, but you should know that your ability to comprehend your environment is strongly defined by your belief in a number of illusions. Time, truth, love, blah, blah, blah. She says some more things. He's like, I'm only human. Enlighten me. You would have to release your hold on mortality. I'd have to die. Ken, your perception is so blah, blah, blah. All of this to say, I'm like...
That's really simplified, but yes, you'd have to die, okay?
But I also think that now if Harry were to die, instead of being able to get off a death curse, his immediately, like, lash would, like, push to the forefront and be like, in my basement, there's a circle. Please dig it up. Pick up my claw.
The true test of multitasking. Can he get out his death curse subliminally while Lash is, like, yeah, puppets his mouth and is like, wait. My dying wish is.
Please.
I don't know. It's kind of funny, too, because in the other book that I'm reading right now, that's literally what happened. So this guy has to go around and find all of these different gods, blah, blah, blah. And literally, like, the last one he just found was, like, the god of death. And so, yeah, basically, while he's talking to it, he basically dies for an hour. So all his friends are, like, freaking out and whatever. And then, of course, he comes back to life and does the thing, right? So it's like, you know, people do it all the time, Harry. You know, you just die for a little while, have your little one-on-one meeting. And, you know, like Dumbledore and Harry in the train station, right? You just, your time slows down while everybody else is, or other way around, your time speeds up while everybody else slows down or whatever, you know? I'm like, it's not a big thing, Harry. Just all the cool kids
are
doing it.
Death is so broad.
She, like, brings him back, right? And he's like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
Totally makes sense.
Right? Don't you just want that, like, Harry in the shower, and then Butcher just does, like, a dot, 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 5 minutes later, dot, dot, dot. He's like, oh, dude.
That would be actually hilarious.
Right?
Murphy's just there on the side. You taste like fruit punch.
Yeah. No, punch she'd mouth. Be mad. She's like, at least when I did it, you got to taste fruit punch. You taste like, you didn't even brush your teeth yet, man. Come on. Ivy. So, yeah. Okay, well, don't bother enlightening me then.
Go away. Leave me the hot water.
As you wish.
For now. And just in case you forgot, Harry's going to remind you about his left hand. I stayed until my hand shriveled up. Well, just my right hand, because my left hand's dead.
It's already shriveled enough.
Yeah, yeah. Haven't fixed that yet.
Can you tell my hand the secret of the life and everything?
Yeah. Just do it here. We got this one secret.
Hey, I'm halfway there.
Talk to the hand, Lash.
Right.
And she did.
What are these leftover biscuits he had? Kelly goes off to feed Mouse and Mr. Nasal left. I'm like, when did you stop and get biscuits? What kind of biscuits are these?
Thomas's.
Thomas's? That just sounds naughty.
Thomas had leftover biscuits, okay?
I had Thomas's biscuits for breakfast.
It'd be naughty if it was buns.
Maybe, but I don't know. It seems like a new age slang thingy, too, that he just had Thomas's biscuits for breakfast. Like, I don't know. I'm sure there's a way you can make that work.
Stupid parents, they don't trust anything that we say. What's that slang? What does biscuits mean?
Right?
It's fucking biscuits, Mom.
Like, and gravy, right?
I don't know. I didn't have gravy. And times like this, and he misses a microwave. He has to, like, reheat that shit on the stove.
At least it's not a candle.
What a loser.
True.
I would not eat if I were Harry. No microwave? Oh, my God.
Well, it's not like you can eat right now anyway.
He really does anyways.
But, like, those fairies standing in that apartment being like, he doesn't even have a microwave, I'd also just buy him Fruit Loops and nothing else.
They're just smarter than he is.
Yeah. They're like, yo, bro, this is why you never eat. You never have time to actually prepare anything because you're always on the run. So here, everything's just ready to go. He's going to buy him some astronaut meals and he can just eat freeze-dried everything.
You still have to wait for the fucking pot to boil.
Right?
It's too much time. It'd be cereal bars for everything.
Exactly.
So he goes to visit Bob in the lab. See if he's on a slab.
He's here to kidnap Bob.
Yeah, I was going to say, not so much of a visit. He just grabs him and goes, Bob's like, whoa, where are we going?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm shoving you in a bag and you can't speak until I tell you to, okay?
Bye-bye.
Okay, I'll go back to sleep then.
Go back to bed. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
He does pack a few other items. His shield bracelet, kinetic ring of face punching, his pentacle, of course, his new blasting rod. Goes through those like crazy.
I know. And for such a fantastic
stuff.
Handy go-to weapon, he's constantly smashing it. And then goes like 3 books before he can replace it. So really, we've only get to see him use it like twice so far.
It's so iconic, and yet he never has it.
Never has it. Why? Because it's too useful. It's like cell phones and Googles. Okay, it's great that he's got this thing, but he'll win every time. So let's just smash it all the time on him. Can't have him win too easy.
That's just cheating.
Just cheating.
He's just got to shoot you in the foot a few more times.
Right.
Oh, it takes so long. You got to find a good piece of wood. Then you got to carve it. Then you got to put all the symbols in it. You got to infuse it with all the magic.
But I'm telling you, wanna. Man.
Just, yeah, get a bunch more of those rings. Who cares about a blasting rod? Just punch through everything.
He's got, like, one on each finger.
Right? Exactly. Get some real
bling.
Every
time he punches something, it explodes.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Gotta be real careful when he closes the beetle's door, you know? It's like, send it right through the opposite side. Oops, did I do that?
He opts to not dress in his protected leather duster for fear of heat stroke, understandably.
Understandably. The one downside.
Substitutes with his dog.
Cool.
Okay, here's my issue with this one thing, leaving the coat behind, okay? Shield bracelet, energy ring, not a problem. That's jewelry. It goes on your body without having to carry it. The blasting rod is usually tied inside of his coat.
Yeah, where are you sticking that down
the
leg?
He's got, like, actually two of them. It's a nunchuck set now.
But I'm like, what are you going to do? Walk into this convention center holding 2 sticks and a gun. And, like, you need your duster to hide everything. You need those deep pockets.
Exactly. And all the chalk and the gun and all the extra
bits. Yeah, like, that's just going into your jean pockets
there.
And you're like, no problem.
Your little notebook, your ID. But exactly. As we already discussed in a previous episode, cans and does, you can't just walk into a convention with a big stick, let alone two of them.
But he does have a backpack, so
I guess that just keeps, I mean, the blasting rod
just keeps
like,
hitting Bob in the face. He's like, fuck.
Right? Quack, right? Fuck. Slap, clank, clank, clank. No, he just shoves it through an eye hole to hold the place there.
You're not using this, right?
Until I need you, you are the holder of my rod, Bob.
Holster.
Yeah.
Everything wrong about what you just said.
Yep.
And Bob was the first to laugh about it.
I mean, I guess the other option is you could put it through his mouth, but... he does. And that is the other thing. I mean, great. One of the greatest things, again, that he gets this coat, and then every once in a while, thank God he lives in Chicago. I guess this is why Harry doesn't live in, like, you know, L.A., because at least he has an excuse to wear his coat for like 3/4 of the year. Yeah. There's even some summertime days where it's cooler or the nights where he can get away with wearing it. But yeah.
It's just too much of a sprawl and for it to be set in L.A. and all that traffic.
You'd never get anything done.
Yeah.
I was thinking like Florida would be a bad one because it's so hot all the time. But then I was thinking, no, Florida man, it would all just be about Harry.
Yeah. Some of the details in these case files have been changed to protect the identity. Really, it is. We just figured out Florida man is just Harry living his life.
That's okay.
Crazy, weird-ass shit.
Who needs a coat when you have a dog?
That's right. He has a dog now.
Mouse will be dying in that heat, though. My God.
Right.
Just give him some shade and some water. Those double coats are made to keep the heat out as much as the warm in.
Are those one of those breeds that you can actually shave? Some of them you can't because their coats are weird.
Probably not. I feel like, and you know, I looked this up a long time ago, so I might be wrong. But again, the closest approximation we've got is like a Tibetan Mastiff. And again, if I recall correctly, they have the double coat like our Cisco had. And yeah, that's exactly that. Is it insulates against the heat the same way it insulates against the cold. So you make sure they have fresh, you know, access to cold water and shade. And don't shave them because you'll fuck up the undercoat and things like that.
Just never grows back quite the same.
Never grows back quite the same and this and that. So, yeah. And I mean, in all fairness, as we find
Mr.
out
Mr. would
short,
make fun of him for the rest of time.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine if they gave Mr. that poor...
Lion King cut?
No, not the Lion King cut. Pandy's poor truffula tree cut.
Oh, yeah.
Jessica was so mad about that.
What an ugly dog.
They go out and meet Murphy and... She asks if Mouse has been car broken.
Yeah, we get reminded that Murphy is deadly afraid of dogs, which hasn't really come up
since
the moon.
Just big dogs.
She's pretty good with Mouse, fortunately.
She's seen Mouse since Mouse was tiny.
That's true. And Mouse, of course, is such a well-behaved little mister that he would never freak out Murphy. And
plus, after you deal with, you know, 18 different types of werewolf, I mean, how big is a big dog, really?
Right?
Especially when the dog is smarter than most people.
Mm. Yeah, and that's his saving grace right there. But yeah, it's like, Mouse is probably almost as big as some of these big werewolves. That's the problem with Mouse, is he's fucking huge. But, yes. I just love, too, how he's not like, hey, is it okay if I'm bringing... He just opens the door and hops in, you know? I'm like, where does... I always feel bad. I'm always like, I have to bring my dog with me. Can my dog come? Is it okay if my dog's sorry? There's dog... And he's just like, no, the dog is just coming.
You don't have a police dog.
Absolutely unapologetic to everything. And, yeah, exactly. Not like, oh, hey, Murph, I brought a cover to throw over your back seat. Like, my... Yeah. Like, I have friends, children, whatever. It's like a whole thing if you want to... How much does a dog shed? Is it a... It's a dog. It's going to shed. But yeah, no. He's just like, in Mouse. Murphy's like, okay.
Yes, we lack the white guy wizard perspective, so...
Yeah, I guess that is...
We'll
when you're a main character,
yeah.
You can bring your dog wherever you want.
Yeah. It's like, hey, man, I can't bring my duster. The dog is coming. But I do like, I still remember this line, like it pops up every once in a while. I don't know why. Just anytime I think about Mouse, I guess. But I just love how he's like, as soon as I found out how big he was going to be, we spent a whole bunch of time on. Like, yeah, good.
Well, ooh,
well played. Yeah, yeah, right.
We got some work to do.
We're going to make sure.
So of the four victims, one of them has died. One of the girls seems totally catatonic. The Rosie, the girl who was pregnant and friends with Molly, she seems like she's going to be okay. And then Pal obviously is still in ICU and...
But he's conscious. He's just... Yeah.
Old. Healing slow.
Got the woobles.
Yeah. So pretty bad attack. Out of its two main victims, one of them is dead. The other one's a comatose.
Yeah, quite the scale. We have like, okay, really beat up, comatose, dead. Like, okay.
We're just covering all the bases.
We got a little bit of everything.
Some variety.
And we get Harry's recap thing on again. We find out that, you know, a couple of them are in ICU. And he's like, I don't know if I can go. I'm going to kill everyone.
Well, Murphy does try to sort of see if she can work around it. Like, we'll just get on speakerphone. Like, yeah.
Yeah. You're like,
I suspect that's
yeah,
not
I can't really look at him that way. And...
It's a nice little nod, though, to, you know, a lot of the time him not being around technology is, you know, funny or annoying, but this is one of the times where it's like, no, actually, like...
Yeah, highly detrimental
real
to
problems,
what he needs
yeah.
to do, yeah. And again, for the type of thing he needs to do, it's not a great...
You're actually lucky that most bad guys are always hiding out in parks.
Yeah, all right. Note to self, you want to evade a wizard?
Right, exactly.
Head to the nearest, like, hospital. Be like, I mean, I see you. You can't touch me.
Literally. I'd be a nurse
That's
picking up
every
shift.
That's just the ones that have ethics. Like, I'm sure some other ones would be like, ah, well, they're in the ICU anyways. They were just going to bite it. Fuck it.
Morgan's like, I don't give a fuck. I'm coming in after you, buddy.
I got bigger things to worry about.
No way.
I don't know. Technically, would that constitute killing them with magic? You might have to chop your own head off, Morgan.
Ooh.
Because if your magic Fritz is out there, I don't know. The ethical dilemma.
I don't think Morgan would do it. Even Morgan, I don't think.
No. Well, and you've already seen, like, with the whole massive attack last book and everything like that about how the vamps came into, like, the hospital and everything, the wizards were pissed.
It's a great band, Massive Attack.
Oh.
Trip hop.
Yeah. You know more than I do. I love how I make all these great references I don't even know I'm making.
You too, like pop culture references.
Just say words.
It's cool.
It's cool. So yeah, figures it's gonna be a long day.
Thank you so much to our Patreon subscribers for your generous support. It's people like you who help us keep doing what we're doing. If you're not yet a Patreon subscriber, sign up today and get a fuck ton of bonus content, kick-ass merch, behind-the-scenes outtakes, and more. Sign up today at patreon.com/freeflowrambling.
Chapter 16. At the hospital, Murphy interviews Rosie while Harry uses his sight to inspect her psychic damage. So We're going to low down on the Mercy Hospital, the oldest hospital in Chicago, founded by the Sisters of Mercy.
What is it? Temple of Doom? Temple Love? Temple what?
That's one of their songs. I read this and I don't think, you know, a sisterhood of nuns, and I just think of a gothic industrial band.
Nice. See, and I definitely think nuns because my parents had like some friends in a cloistered convent that we used to go visit every once in a while. Sisters of the Precious Blood. Shout out. Whoever thought they'd get a shout out on a vampire.
Which also, of the Precious Blood sounds like another fucking goth band, man.
Right? Yeah.
Sisters That's a great of the band Precious name.
Blood. They had like red habits, red and white.
They get to the hospital and they see that Rollins is guarding all of the patients' rooms, which is weird because I would not assume that they'd all be in the same area considering the four vastly different cases, but apparently they're all in the same area.
Especially since he was taken there to be treated. They're like, well, you're already here. May as well just get on shift again.
Yeah, exactly. Clock back in.
Well, they're just going to say that they left him up, but it's not because they do say after this that they go.
Yeah, they have to go elsewhere, I know. So who's he exactly he's guarding? He's guarding one of them.
But it does, again, he has victims plural here. So maybe it's like, you know, like the guy that got knocked out of the wheelchair and that, right, maybe a couple of other people that were not seriously injured, were not attacked by the monster, but were injured in the melee kind of a thing, right? Maybe there's a few of them that are.
It's gotta be that.
Yeah, because
nothing else makes sense.
Nothing else makes sense. Well, and actually, I think I kind of missed this in the last couple chapters when I wasn't here because I was going to bring it up when they mentioned it again. But a tiny bit here, when he's first talking to Molly, like when they go to bail Nelson out and they're talking about the convention and she's like, oh, like first time convention, 3,000 people is like a Mongol horde. And then like shortly after that, they're talking either to, it's not Susan, is it? Who's the woman she talks to that's, is it Susan or Susan? Anyway, whoever else is running the convention.
Susie.
Is it like Susan or Suzanne or Susie or something? But anyways, and they were like, blah, 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 for like last year we didn't have this many people, or last year we were able to book this guy or something. And I just remember, I don't know, did anybody else catch that? Where I'm like, they mentioned it's like a first-time con, and then they seem to act like it's like...
Sandy.
New Susan. I've been watching Magic for Humans. Magic for Susans. Yeah. So I don't know if it's one thing like that. I'm like, is this again like some kind of like Butcher? Like, am I forgetting something? Did I misread something? Did Butcher forget what he was doing? Same thing. Victims. I don't know. We'll have all three of them in the same room. Then, oh yeah, I'm going to yank two of them out to ICU. I don't know.
He wasn't sweating the small stuff.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Continuity.
That's our job.
Yeah. Exactly. He was.
But I do like that Rollins and Murph know each other and they have this sort of like poke back and forth. And we already have confirmation from the last book that Rollins knows Murphy's dad, so it makes sense that he's kind of always been aware of Murphy, but it's just like, aw, it's so cute, the back and forth they got.
Right. So sweet.
Oh, shoot, Dresden. And he'll work with anybody.
And the only one that'll like get away with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
As we've seen so far, because no one else has so far.
Exactly.
Harry included.
Right. Exactly.
I thought that Rollins makes a comment that Mouse is there. I was like, how did they get Mouse that far? I'm like, holy shit.
I know.
I mean, they do cover it later, but it was just like, oh, whoa, the dog's here? You brought the dog in the hospital?
But he doesn't. And again, this goes back to my comment of how fucking much he gets away with it. And I mean, like, okay, in all fairness, I don't think I've ever seen one in a hospital, but I will say more and more, people do seem to just be bring, because again, that used to be like exciting thing. I'm going to the pet store. I can bring you guys with me because you're actually allowed to come in the pet store with me. This is my kids I'm talking about. No, just kidding.
I guess that badge goes a long way though. So,
but last summer when I took the kids camping, so we were like popped into like Walmart and Drumheller to pick up like hot dogs or something for the campfire. These people have their fucking rabbit on a leash and are walking around Walmart with a rabbit.
I think it's by store, really. But
I guess
hospitals, I'm a little less like, ooh.
Hospitals, I would think.
I know that hospitals have their own dogs on employ for, right, like comforting and calming down anxiety.
There is
like that
therapy dogs.
But again, they are like therapy dogs, you know?
They'd have to have a special dispensation to like bring dogs in.
And I've also seen cases where like nurses have like helped sneak dogs in so that like dying, you know,
patients can see their
pet for the last time or things like that. But yeah, you're not hiding mouse. Like,
yeah, exactly. And I mean, again, this is the beauty of
Murphy
mouse.
Murphy's just walking ahead of them with her badge just straight open. Don't bother. Don't bother.
I feel
don't
like,
bother,
honestly, like Dresden has his own psychic paper sometimes where he's just like, don't ask questions, don't ask questions. Nothing to see here, nothing to see here.
Right?
I'm doing my own shit. Like, he's just a minor glamour on everything all the time.
Not,
he never mentions.
They just act like he's the glamour is like all they see instead of mouse is this small child, small hairy child.
Or like
our cousin Ed is walking through with him.
Parks and Recreation, Ron, when he always like has a piece of paper, is like, yeah, I have a permit. I do what I want.
Sorry, I haven't seen that one. I can't.
He's a guy that has a permit, and when you pull it out, it says, I do what I want.
Gotcha.
Now you're caught up.
Nice. Perfect. But yeah, he's not actually like breaking the fourth wall. He's not actually bending people's mind. It's just like a subtle suggestion. Like, these are not the droids you're looking for. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
Everything is fine.
Why is your child drooling?
John Mulaney's joke about a horse in a hospital.
Excuse me, we're at a hospital. Don't ask what my child's problems are, okay?
So between Rollins and Murphy, they decide that Mouse is a police dog, which is very useful from here on out. Good job, dog. You just got deputized.
The dog is with me. The wizard is with me. Sounds like a police dog.
It's good enough explanation.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the first room they start with is Rosie.
Yeah.
Molly is with her. She's
sleeping
snoozing.
In the uncomfortable hospital chair like we all do at some point.
Molly definitely has like mother hen energy for this like
gosh, doesn't she?
I went from 7 siblings to take care of to 0. I need some volunteers.
Right. And it's funny because again, much as Charity and Molly fight, much as those of us that have had mothers similar to them, we know, right? Parents, sons, whatever. Exactly. It's this Molly is her mother in ways as well. That exactly. Living in this big, close-knit family is exactly. Molly's used to being the caregiver, the caretaker, the mother, hen, the whatever, right? Coddle, protect, stand by, you know, loyalty, everything. So, yes, this is her flock. This is, you know, one of the first of Molly's found family, chosen family, whichever way you want to. Yeah.
Hey, listen, Molly, I have to perform a soul gaze. Could you think of a really quick reason to leave? That would be great. That'd be awesome, actually, if
Except
you just leave.
Except it's not even that. Because
it's just the sight. It's not the soul gaze.
That's true.
Oh, sorry, you're right, you're right.
That's that too. But yeah, because Murphy kind of does the mild questioning or whatever, right? So Molly's like, hey, what's going on here? It's like, they're spooky afoot. And she's like, oh my God. And then she's like, so hey, how's Ken? Nobody will tell us anything. And Harry's like, and she's like, oh, I'm going to leave. Yeah. So it's not even that, right? It's not
She's a smart cookie.
She's a smart cookie. And again, she knows shit. She's like, I don't want to. So yeah, she's just exactly like more shit on top of my boyfriend got arrested. This guy got beat up. Well, my pregnant best friend is like,
definitely trying to protect her friend right now, I think, by like leaving. She's like, gotta go.
Yeah, give her some private.
I've got to go freak out on my own.
Give Molly some time to freak out on her own. Give the officials time to answer their questions, do their thing. But yeah, exactly. She's just like, this is not a good place to be right now. I'm just gonna get out of here for a minute. And
but for the plot, hey Molly, I'm about to use the site. I need you to leave.
Yeah. And I love how ironically neither Murphy nor Dresden take her. I mean, I get why they're there and what they're there, but my kid's coffee.
Literally, I'm shocked. I was gonna say the same thing. I was like, I get why you're there, but take the fucking coffee.
I was gonna say, why would Murphy or Dresden ever refuse a coffee? You know, especially like you say, we just went through this like 10 minutes ago with the biscuit. He used to do so much work to make coffee at home. Man doesn't own a Keurig. You know? Take every free cup of coffee that is ever offered to you. But yeah, unbelievably, nobody does.
And when she goes to leave, this time at least, Mouse is gentle with
her.
And nice and good. And
Harry's
like, what the fuck, dude? Like, what?
Do we like her or do we not like her? What the hell?
I mean, I was annoyed that you were growling at her. That wasn't cool. But now I'm just confused that you're being nice to her. So can you go back to growling at her? Like, I don't
know. Mouse is like, which is it? What do you want?
I know.
What do you
Mouse
want
is
from
like,
me?
You said she was a friend, dude. You said, I tried to tell you. I tried to tell you. You were like, no, that's Molly. That's her friend. I'm like, all right, dude. Jesus. Which one of us is bipolar, Harry? Me or you? Come on.
Sidebar. Okay, dog, seriously. Like her or not.
Hate it.
make signals. I'm so confused.
So while Murphy continues to talk to the girl, Harry does open up his sight. And of course, we start with the angelic warrior version of Murphy with equipped with a gleaming sword. Always a great image.
Always a great image. Murphy looks basically like Murphy, but better.
If my sight is open, I am looking for Murphy.
Right? Every time. You should just, yeah. Do that for all your time. You're going to have to see something really horrible, have something really good standing by.
Yeah.
Go find some more, like, tree dryads or whatever that little spirit nymph was. He felt when he was, like, 12 or something, one of the first things he looked upon was some little, like, pixie spirit and tree spirit thing.
Lore.
Yeah. He says it. And it was, like, the best thing that he ever, like, but then also all the horrible shit stays to you. Mm-hmm. You guys have forgotten about his little tree spirit.
Forgot about his tree nymph. I'm sorry.
God. That was like his one shot.
Shock.
Oh, really? Did he?
Other than Murphy, it's like one of the few things
I just assumed we hadn't covered that yet. I was like, that's later, right?
Nope.
That's why I was looking at you. Nope. Like, I don't remember no fucking tree nymph. Okay.
I think she's reading Percy Jackson again.
So wait until the Discord, people, and you guys will get jumped all over for once. For other people out there, remember the tree nymph.
What if it doesn't exist? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that just be awesome?
And unbeknownst to our listeners, we are now going to take a 10-minute break while I go back and look up the tree nymph to prove it to you guys.
Everyone in the Discord, gaslighter, that is not real.
Listen, I have enough of that shit going on in my life right now, okay? Let's not. Bad child, bad.
So, Rosie, on the other hand, for the sight, is looking quite different. She kind of has the look of a stray dog or a rat, and is covered in tiny opening and closing mouths that she's not able to scratch to relieve.
Just gross. That just makes me think of, like, barnacles.
Right? Ugh. And just, like, this barrier between, like...
It's really gross.
Yeah.
And another thing that Harry sees is the psychic damage has, like, laser-like precision instead of the usual appearance of, like, a mauling.
Yeah, and he's like, what? Like, some crazy-ass mad scientist did this. Not what the fuck.
Extra weird.
Extra weird. They'd never been pretty. Usually they look like the victim of a shark attack or someone who had been mauled by a bear. I'd never seen someone with damage like Rosie's. So, yeah, very strange.
And addiction behavior.
But while they're talking, he jumps.
That's a great imagery for addiction. Oh, like, really well done.
Really good.
Yeah, Ooh. That whole kind of skeevy, just, I don't know what you got. Yeah.
It was enough to give me, like, the willies reading it.
I was this close to picking up a heroin needle when I was reading this, and now I'm like, you know what? No. No. Thank you, Butcher. That did it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Not cool.
I don't want to walk around with spiritual oven mitts on.
It's going back to, like, War Cry and the Shagoth.
Shagoth.
Right? The other thing I can think of is, like, Chazazarolok from the book one that I can't say his name anyways that thing, but in the graphic novel, right, that thing had all those little, like, mouths all over it and stuff, right. Too, right? Yeah. It's almost like that, even just like barb, but yeah, almost like these little tiny, like, mouth thingies
either way.
I know, it sounded familiar too. That makes sense.
Shagothy thingamajigger and this
corruption
and just, but yeah, a little, like, oh, just icky yuck, gross. Slimy, bad.
So he interrupts to ask, when was your last fix?
And yeah.
I'm diabetic. Shut up.
It's not where you, like, stick the needle.
We don't have.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't have
it's not how it works.
No.
Sorry, sweetie. Not how it works. Yeah. No, he calls bullshit on her and is like, uh-uh.
Yeah.
Well, and she says she's been clean for 2 weeks now.
Yeah. As soon as she found out she was pregnant, she was like, that's it. Cold turkey. I'm done.
Right. Which afterwards, Harry and Murph are like, no fucking way.
No fucking way. Right. You can't kick heroin like that. Not a chance. Right?
Well, because the 2 weeks, like, track marks would have healed too. Right? Like, he does see them, right?
Yes. But I think that's the whole point of Mark.
He psychically saw them.
Well, no, he saw them.
But no,
he saw them when they took her, and now he just, again, the little gaping mouths were more what sees of them now as. Track marks do last a while. I think when you've been doing it enough that there are, like,
scarring. Yeah, they kind of scar a little bit.
Yeah, so it's not just,
That's why, because yeah, I've seen it. Not that I know any. Again, I'm taking this all from like TV and shit and things like that. But
clearly,
don't worry,
quite naive
I see it
on this.
Yeah, I am. But again, just because of the way, like again, people mention the that I know there's enough of it that it does leave long term marks. Because people that are clean, people will still see their track marks and stuff.
Okay. Well, and a lot of the time, the people that are using aren't using clean, sterile equipment
affected
every time, right?
Yes, obviously. Yeah, that too. And okay. So yes, so I think it. Yeah, I think it does.
So it is feasible that.
It is feasible that, yes, even once you have, even if you have not used any time recently.
Look, for once, it's not me coming to the defense of the storyline.
That's right. Yes. Yes. No, I think this is very plausible.
They eventually tell Rosie that Ken died and Molly makes her return. And, whew, it's pretty awkward in here. We're going to go.
Yeah.
Well, now that we dropped that bomb, we're just going to sneak out.
You guys hey. Deal with the
consequences.
Now that
we're in the middle of interviewing about your traumatic event, I'm just going to jump in. We don't even know where Murphy was at or anything like that. I'm just going to jump in and be like, hey, Junkie, what's up? By the way, your dude's dead. Okay, peace out.
Yeah. Thank God. Molly just happened to run in and be like, oh, shit. Oh, it's happened. It's happened.
I stopped using when I found out I was pregnant. Good, because also your baby daddy, dead.
Oh, look, here's Molly with a coffee for herself. Bye.
Yeah. That's when Harry should have reached out, took the coffee, left with it. 17-year-olds shouldn't be drinking this crap. Bye.
Just one.
Your
more.
Mom told me not to let you drink any coffee.
You still owe me for bailing out Nelson, I'm just saying.
Coffee is a gateway drug. I'll take that.
Did I say I was going to get you lunch? I meant you're going to keep buying me lunch over and over and over.
Right? Oy vey, gallows humor. Yeah.
Off to the next one.
Yeah.
So Murphy sits Harry down in a little chair. Basically, I should imagine like preschool chair with adults have to sit in. Like how I imagine him being abandoned in this hospital and be like,
and you know
with
what?
Your dog over here.
You know what? That's fair because the size Harry is, most chairs probably are like an adult sitting in a toddler seat. So, you know, we've all seen those little plastic hospital chairs. It's probably pretty damn close.
Well, and at least he's got good company. Like, I just do like that he's sitting with Rollins and they're just like chilling.
I love those
they're
interactions.
Like,
oh,
cool.
Yeah, Rollins is such
comfortable
Lake Murphy.
You said it before and I'll say it again.
But Murphy and Rollins is good people.
It's really rare, though, to have a character where, you know, Harry needs nothing from them and they need nothing from Harry so they can just be friends. It's like...
Yes.
And, I mean, Rollins, we will actually need you later. But right now...
I mean, obviously, he serves his
exactly.
point. He hasn't just been completely useless in his... But yes, it's not the same. It's not like, okay, Butters, we need a medic
exactly.
that can patch everybody up.
Just
you
some
know?
Camaraderie for once.
It's not like,
nice.
Yeah.
I want to just push this door open a little bit. Yeah, that's all I need from you. You're good.
Yeah.
Now we're friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. So remember last book when you let me look in the doorway? This I just need you to open this doorway again. Let me look in
yeah,
it and
no
see
kidding.
It. Listen, evisceration.
Our friendship is built on you allowing me to slightly incriminate one crime scene per year.
Oh, that's Rollins' point. You don't even not incriminate. You just get to look at them. I don't care if everybody's already tromped through here. You get to look and that's it.
Now, weirdly enough, Murphy's able to pull it off where she's able to get... You know, a nurse in on this back hallway and no one else will be
an
around.
Alternate route that's like
the
avoids
least
most of the
amount
rooms.
Of machines. Yeah. And
so
like,
I just wonder if she pulls like the, like, again, we used to joke about Jessica shutting off our computer all the time, right? My mom was like, my dad could never keep watches going because he would fry them and stuff like that, right? It's like, she's just like, yeah, I got on a dude with one of those like crazy magnetic fields around him that just, you know, like, I don't know.
And you know the nurses have seen it all, so they'd be like, oh,
shit,
okay.
Nurses have seen all this shit, right?
Like, either A, yes, that, or B, you're just a cop, and you're like, listen, I've got a wacko with me who's really good at his job, but he doesn't want to be around, you know, equipment. So,
right?
The least amount of equipment possible,
so,
please.
So, he's going to sneak in here with his dog, who's like the size of a horse. Like, yeah, right? Like, what
I don't
is...
tell anyone, but we employ a wizard, and he has some really weird fucking criteria.
Now, how fast do you want to get us out of here?
Yeah, right? But as we explained at the beginning of this chapter, Mercy Hospital is apparently fucking massive as hell, or at least was when it was built. So they've got some extra basement rooms
Which
for you to go and
I appreciated
sit
that little bit of back history there. And, like, it's funny, it's true. Like, you think about it at the time, and again, you go back however fucking long, right? Churches were, like, little tiny, you know, little one-room schoolhouses. Now our schools are, like, blocks long and, like, thousands of students and all this kind of stuff, right?
That's impressive for the time frame, how
so,
big it is.
Well, I was going to say, I love how, because you're right, he's like, at the time, everyone was like, oh my God, this thing is so huge. Like, why do we need something so massive? And then the fires hit, and they were like, everybody shut up. But also, now, again, 30, 40, 50, 60 years later, right, population growth, this, obviously, it's not so massive now, right? More hospitals are being built on that scale just to start, right? I'm like, it's kind of funny how, like, again, the farther back you go, I'm sure the materials and the process, you know, but I mean, like, nowadays, you're right. It's like, why? Yeah, hospitals should be being built, like, a small city on their own because, you know, there's, you know what I mean? It's like, really? These guys had forethought that they didn't even
realize. No, it is impressive because, I mean, just our city alone, Calgary has fucking been behind on infrastructure its entire inception.
Yeah, we boomed faster than we could expand.
And to the point we've never caught up, even now. We still have not caught up. We are behind in everything. We don't have enough hospital beds. We don't have enough housing. Every single road, our busy highways are backed up with traffic every day.
Yeah, let's build a new highway to cut down on traffic. And now that it's complete, it's back down in rush hour.
Yeah, every single day.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, good on you guys for being able to have some forethought.
This feels just like the 405 crap.
Yeah.
It's almost, you know, no offense if you know anyone who died in it, but it's almost lucky that their whole city kept burning down because they kept being able to be like, all right, let's make this efficient this time. Let's do it right this time.
A couple of weekends ago was the anniversary of the 2013 flooding in Calgary, and we got rained on a whole bunch. And they're like, you know what, guys, we should be okay, though, because we did all that flood mitigation. We didn't get flooded out this year. So, you know
what?
We
also didn't have an ice pack this year.
Yeah, but, you know, details. I'm just saying. It's, you know.
They were not flood conditions.
We experienced nowhere near as much rain as we did 10 years ago, but.
Yeah, sorry about, you know, Mrs. O'Malley's cow shed or whatever, but guess what? This hospital ended up being just what we needed, so.
This concludes our episode 1711. Sisters of Mercy, thank you for listening. You can find us online at freeflowrambling.com and macanellis.ca. There we have links to our other podcasts, social media, and other fun tidbits. Please subscribe if you like what you're hearing, and please consider supporting us through Patreon to keep the magic alive and to see more content. We are Free Flow Rambling. Conjured by edit your own risk.